Father's supply. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful you've given us another day, Lord, that we can walk in your way that you've given us. Lord, that the word you said, the Bible was you in word form, Lord. And when we receive those words, Lord, it becomes life in us. Lord, how gracious and how wonderful, Lord, your gifts are to us. And Lord, to, as the prophet said, to recognize our day and our message, Lord, how important it is, Father. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it, Lord. And I pray this morning that you will open these things up to us, Lord. If many of them things we've already seen, Lord, maybe all of it. And Lord, but we love to rejoice around it, Father. And it means so much to us, especially, Lord, when we see the words that the prophet said coming to pass out here in the world, Lord. And we see those things that the prophet promised in his bride coming to pass as well, Lord. How wonderful that is, Lord, to recognize that. And Lord, we pray you'll bless the word now. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. So I trust everybody's doing good this morning. And everybody's all recovered. And I went up and saw Mom and Melissa for a little bit the other day. And we had a really good talk about the message. And so I just pray that, just pray with us that, you know, the words will have effect on his seed. And we don't know the time that it will happen, but it will happen. Amen. So as we went into the message Wednesday, there were a few things that I wanted to bring back and just like refresh us. But at the same time, the more I started looking at the things in that we were going to go into in the future home, there's so much context that needs to be there. And I think everybody understands what I mean by context. You need to need some background, you know, to understand what's happening. And we're still going to get into some of it, but I want to go back and get some background because we went through a lot of the background. Brother Holmes went through background for years and went and brought us so much stuff, way more than we got, way more than we got. And we just want to go back and pick up this one quote here from and point out a few things I didn't point out before as we and then work our way up to this future home message, because the intent of this series is to show that he was not just talking about the eighth day when he said the words eighth day. He was talking about that other day, that day outside of time, a bunch, a whole lot. It was in a lot of places. Every time he talked about redemption being over and something happening after that, every time he talked about that, that's what he was talking about. Because that was what the church ages was for, was a type of time, and we're going to go through that this morning. It was a type of time that when that was over, then there was something else. Something else that didn't apply to that anymore, altogether different, but the same. Brother Rem said it was different, but the same. And so let's go into this and let's just read what he said again about Eve, because I keep referencing back to this, and I just want to point out something else. The body must follow the head. It must. That's the only thing the body can do is follow the head. And it, as the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Now he's pointing out why this has to happen. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at that day. What was holding it back? This idea, this thought that Eve had been deceived and she was in the transaction. That part of her body, that part of the body of Christ. That's what's holding it back. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at that day of the Lord Jesus when he come forth from the grave. When they raised him up from the grave, it would have raised every one of them up from the grave right then. No time of no seven church ages or nothing if it had not been for that. If she had not been deceived. So there has to be a time that he takes away that. For he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. She has to be redeemed. Now, what does this mean, be redeemed? She has to be redeemed in order to come to him. Do you see it? Oh my, see, it couldn't have happened then. Couldn't have happened back there. Couldn't have happened through the church ages because she has to be redeemed. The redemption is going on. And what is this redemption? You know, there's so many people wants to read a explanation into that. And it couldn't have happened then, he says. The redemption is going on. She couldn't have come to him then because the redemption was going on. What's keeping her from coming to him? The redemption's going on. Don't miss that point. What's keeping her from coming to him is the redemption is going on. Now you see the seals. Now you see the seals? What was the seals? The seals were on that redemption that was going on. They were on every age. The seal was on those ages. The seal was. And what Brother Bram say, that every age, when the message come forth, there was some part of it that did not. Remember? There's something held back in every age, Brother Bram said. Now you see, I can get that quote for you if you want to read it. Now you see the seals, when he was in his mediatorial work back there redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book. Now, he's still talking about her coming to him. He's coming to get the book. She's coming to him. That's what this is all about. Yes. Now, you see the seals. When he was in the mediatorial, his mediatorial work back there, redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get his book that he's redeemed. So, all through those church ages, the seals were being revealed. They were being brought forth, but there was something held back in every one of them. It was a mystery. That wasn't being brought forth. And all that's in this book would be him. So when he's redeeming, what is he doing? He's revealing him. He's revealing himself, the believer. Because what did we say? When the message comes forth, what happens? When that message comes forth, that predestinated seed in those people for that age, they receive it. And that was the redemption that was going forth, the message that went forth. And so when he opened that mystery for that day, or opened the seal for that day, we don't know the mystery till the end. When he opened the mystery for that day, the message went forth. And that message brought them in. It revealed who these people were in this age. It revealed these to be God's people, and the other ones that didn't accept it revealed them to be not God's people. That's what the redemption was. He was revealing himself. And all that's in this book would be him. Everything that's in the book would be him. For that's the believer. Now remember what's in the book. Brother Bram said it's like it's two parts. In one way it's two parts, he said, in one way it's not. One was the book of life, and one's the Lamb's book of life. All that's in this book would be him, for that's the believer. The word's in the book, and the word is him. Okay, so he's been revealing himself. He couldn't come get himself because he has to reveal himself. I guess that kind of sounds kind of silly, but that's what he's saying. He couldn't come just get her. He has to reveal her. And all that's in that, he come forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world. So that's what he's been doing when he was slain as a lamb. And here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. How's he doing it today? Remember, he had to reveal himself first before he could come, before she could come to him. And look at him pointing this out. He's pointed out what the seals were. And then he says, here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing that he did there. How did that happen? We go all through the church ages and it's not manifesting the same thing he did there. It's manifesting part of it. But back, it's not manifesting what he did back there, see? And so all through the church ages, now all of a sudden he's telling us, look, he's here today manifesting the same thing he did back there. Then where is he doing it? In his people. In his prophet right then. And then his people from the message to follow. You see, it was the same thing in every age. The prophet bringing the message. And that bringing the people forth. You can't recognize, she can't recognize another headship. No, sir, there's no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ. And Christ is the Word. Oh, my. Whoo, I love that. Yes, sir. All right. So look, with that in mind, let's go to this message. The Lamb had this called souls that are in prison now. Now, a lot of people misread this message. Every time Brother Ram says, could be, could it be, it says it's altogether possible and all these other things, people think he's like guessing. But at the very first of this message, he makes it clear that he's not going to bring anything in this message that God did not say. That it's not scriptural, he said. So he's saying, I'm just saying, is this the time? That's the only thing he's questioning. Is it the time? And he's telling you, here's what's happening. It looks very much like it. And so people want to read that and say, they just want to swipe it off and not think about it. Because then they have to, there's other things in the message they have to think about. If redemption's over, what does that mean? See, that opens up a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff they don't want to think about. A lot of stuff they don't want to pray about. A lot of things they don't want to find God about. They want to run around and do stuff and be and live in this world and do things like that. I think about Paul when he said that one that had left because he thought this world, this present world, more interesting than God. The Lamb had redeemed it, but he could not come forth until every name was revealed. So he has to reveal it, see? He has to reveal every name. And he did that by the message that come in every age. Until every name was revealed. And where does that take place? It's taking place under the sixth seal. Every name is revealed under the sixth seal before the seventh one breaks. Every name that's redeemed brings forth that. Before the seventh broke, under that sixth seal. Remember what we talked about, the message coming forth, and Brother Branham saying that the message broke in every age, and that those that received it, they were sealed in. And those that rejected it, a judgment, a plague. That all judgment takes place under the sixth seal. And that's what's been taking place. He's been bringing these messages, and the names of the God's people have been revealed down through those ages. And before the seventh broke, all these names are revealed on the sixth seal. Then the spotless, then the Lamb come for what he had redeemed. When he comes for what he's redeemed, then that's over. The other part is over. Everything under that is over. He come to claim what he had redeemed. Now he's doing something different. While ago he was redeeming it, now he's coming and claiming it. And Brother Branham say, the word always has to come to the prophet. Mm-hmm. So when this is going to be a message too. He come to claim what he had redeemed. He's already got it right here in the book, taking it from his hand. Now he's come to receive what he has redeemed. That's his work. He's done. He's done when he comes to get that book. And how many people in the message have him that he's not done with redemption, yet he's got the book? How is that possible? He's come to receive what he's done. He's come to get it. He couldn't come and get it before. Remember, he said he couldn't come and get it because Eve was deceived. And there's another quote where he talks about that for the ignorance of the people, he couldn't come. He's done. He's done. Let that sink in. Anybody who's listening online, he's done. He's come to receive it now. It's a changing. Something else is going on. And this is past this, see? Remember what the title of the message is? Zero comes after Laodicea. Brother Bram said they had their countdown wrong. And so zero comes after Laodicea. And zero was the takeoff. That was the launch. That was the day the ark come off the ground. That was the day the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. All of those in that eternity, in that eighth day, has proven it. Oh, what a time. Has proven it. The seventh seal proved it. He's come to receive it, and the seventh seal proves that he's come to receive it. Come back and took the book of redemption. The thing that he could not take in the church ages, he come and took it. Now what's holding the bride back from coming to him? He's removed the one thing that would keep her from going to him. He's took it away in the church ages. He's brought redemption. She can recognize him now. That's gone. So now he comes to get her. He don't have to wait no longer. He can come get her. You think about that. In my silly little example was I couldn't wait to see her every Sunday. It was just awful having to wait all week. And one time I was really stupid and stayed on the phone for, two or three hours? And I got the bill for that. Nowadays, we can spend ever how many hours you want on the phone, long distance or not, and it don't make a hill of beans difference. It's the same price. Now, that cost me like $80 back then in 1990 money. I missed her so bad. And I didn't want to even say bye that time. I didn't do that again. But that one time, I did. But my point is that I had to wait all week to see her. And the Lord had waited all this time to come get what he had already paid for. Because when he come to her, she could know him and come to him. And when he comes to her, that's a message. That's a message of the whole Bible. Notice, it has to be the seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals. The seventh, comma, the seven seals. Revelations 10 now, you'll find it. It had to be the seventh angel message. Seventh angel's message that was to reveal the seven seals. Revelations 10:7. Now, you'll find it, see? And he saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land and on the sea. That was Christ, the angel that come down. And a rainbow over his head. You ever have time to go back and look at those series that Brother Holmes preached on the rainbow? They're very good. Had a rainbow over his head. Notice him. You'll find him in Revelation 1 again with the rainbow over his head. Look upon as jasper and sardis and so forth. And here he come, put one hand, one foot upon the land and one upon the water, raised up his hand and had a rainbow over his head yet. That's a covenant. He was the covenant angel, which was Christ. This is, he's going back and reading this quote for us, reading the scripture for us. With a little, made a little lower than the angels to suffer. There he come. And he put his hands up to heaven, and he swore by him that lives forever and ever, the eternal one, the Father God, that time shall be no more. Does that not sound like the church age's announcement? It's over. That's why he's reading it, remember? This is this message, souls that are in prison, and he's pointing these things out to say, is that where we are, brother and sister? That's what he's asking the people. Then this takes place. It's run out. It's done. It's finished. When that takes place, he says. And remember how he started this paragraph? How did he start this paragraph? I mean, the one before it. The seventh angel's message, that was to reveal the seven seals. Revelation 10. It's done, it's finished. And then the scripture says, the message of the seventh earthly angel, the messenger on earth, the seventh and last church age, at the beginning of his ministry, when he starts off into the earth, at that time, the mystery of God, of the seven seals, should be made known by that time. Now, we see where we're at. How do we see where we're at if them seals weren't open? They were open. Right. Could it be, friends? Could it be, notice, all possible? Could it be that this is the time, is what he's saying? Not could it be, is this scriptural? That's too many people read it that way. Notice, all possible. Now I'm skipping down a little bit. I want to ask you a question now, and you people on the tape, listen close. Them hideous eyes, that hideous head, could that be why this message has been so against the women of modern age? Could this be that last angel's message? This message that's coming forth that I'm bringing when I come to the pulpit, could that be this last angel's message? What did he say down there at the river about 33 years ago as John was sent forth to announce the first coming of Christ? Your message will announce the second coming and around the world, and that's what's done. That's what's done. When I look into the dictionary, done means done, means over. Then the coming must be at hand. Yes. Watch what happens now. And he goes on and he talks about having to be the one that comes against the women and comes against the preachers that don't do right and all these things. He has to be that one that stands there and does that, because he talks about it paralleling the life of Christ. And that's where he's getting this message from about the third pull. Am I going to have to be the fella that says this? Am I going to have to take them precious women that's so nice and everything and just shuck them to pieces? The ones, you know, that are wearing the pants and the different things. Am I going to have to? Am I going to have to take my minister brothers and stand there and tell them that they love money and the denomination better than they love God? Is that what he's going to have to do? Me, to my precious brothers that put their arm, oh, do I have to do that, oh God? Don't let me do that. Do it. But I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel. It's genuine love that's drove me to it. Is that why this message has been this way? Nowhere else in the world is it. Nowhere else in the world is he standing there and a preacher telling them the truth of the scripture, telling them how they should be acting and they're not acting. Nowhere else in the world. Where is it at? All right, they're afraid, see? But it's been fearless. Now you see how he's talking about the message. You see how he's talking about it. It's not his accomplishment. It's not he, something that he produced. It's he said, they're afraid, see, but it's been fearless. This message has been fearless. Exactly. God is always that way. See, he's always fearless. All right. Is this why women has been rebuked, so rebuked by this message? Not knowing it wasn't revealed. It was showed me, but it didn't come to me till just the other day. In other words, he'd seen the vision about the women with the, he said, the beehive hair. The hair went up in a thing, cone like this on her head. And he said they had all the green stuff under their eyes and things. And he said that when he saw that again, that's when it was showed to him what was going on. It wasn't revealed. It was showed me because he saw it when he was a little boy, when he was 14. I think it was 14 when he got shot in the back of the leg and was dying. And then when he was in JCPenney's there, he saw it again. And that's when it hit him. That not was it just in hell, but it was here on the earth now. That was on the earth, walking around, people still walking around that had not actually died yet, but dead because they've turned it down. That's what it hit him while he was standing there waiting for Meaty to shop. God don't ever stop revealing. It was showed me, but it didn't come to me until just the other day. See, look at there. All right, sure fits the ministry. And going on down in that same message. But you can't kill the ministry. It lives on. You can put the messenger to sleep, but you can't put the message. Right. He lived on. And notice, when the third pull of his ministry come, the first was healing the sick. The second was rebuking the organizations and prophesying. And remember, every time he says those words, look, he's just as manifested today as he was back there. Think about these things that he's saying right here. The second was rebuking the organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming. What is, what will come, and what was. What is and what will come. That's what he done. Is that right? He's pointing back at Jesus' ministry in his second pull. Congregation says yes. But his third pull was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. Why? Because the book is shut. Now, he went into all that at the beginning of this message. You can go look at it. About him leaving the mercy seat and those sort of things. They were down there with them big painted eyes he says. Preach to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. But yet they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days as it was. And remember how many times Brother Branham said he's manifested today the same as he was back there. Now he's asking the question. Out the same way in the last days as it was. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The works that I do, shall you also. Lost, could never be saved. They had rejected mercy. That was his third pull. They were preaching to them in the third pool, and they'd already rejected him. All right, so let's look at him reference this message again as he goes on. When the Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, what that was the book of redemption. And those names was put in there before the foundation of the world. And when that last name was called, the book, the plan, everything else was revealed then. The seven seals was opened by the Lamb. I thought he said it was the seventh angel messenger that come and done it. He's not saying something different. The plan, everything else was revealed then. The seven seals were opened by the Lamb. The mysteries of the whole Bible was hid in there. If we had time, going on down just a little bit, and the last name goes on that book, or the last name that's redeemed, that was put on that book, that settles it. It's done. He comes to claim what he redeemed. And it might be a strange time when he comes to claim what he's redeemed. It might be a strange time. Did you ever think people will go right on preaching? The church will go right on even thinking they're getting people saved? It's too late then. It's all over. See, and the message will go to the total lost. The message will go to them. Just like it did in the days of Noah. 7 days in the ark. It went to them, but they couldn't come in. It was already sealed. It wasn't raining, but they were already sealed. Noah and them were already sealed in. It did in the days of Sodom. Jesus himself, his third stage of his ministry, he went and preached to the souls that were eternally lost, that were in prison, that repented not, the long suffering in the days of Noah. He preached to those that didn't repent. And we don't know, he preached to them and they couldn't accept it. Because they turned Noah down. Even when Jesus preached to them, they couldn't accept it. And we don't know what time these things might happen. And let's be warned, don't just stand around. Let's do something about it. If we're not right with God, let's get right with God, he says. All right, going on down just a month or so later. He's still referencing that message. So now I'm going to say something to you. Now, remember, in the souls in prison, he's questioning, could this be that third pull? Could it be? Now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said in all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. The third pull has now been vindicated. What is the third pull, did he say? Tis to the total lost. It's not just to the total lost, because we're in the eighth day when that happens. Remember, he referenced Noah. Third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that. Why did Brother Ram say that it couldn't be impersonated? He said Satan could know it, but he couldn't live it. He couldn't live it. The only way you can live it is God live it in you. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that. They impersonated all the other ages, but they're not going to impersonate this. Never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's inexistent. The thing that cannot be impersonated is in existence. Now think about that, because it has to be manifested on earth in man, because that's what Brother Branham said that man was made for, was to express God's word. That's what he was made for. So if it's here, the thing that cannot be impersonated. It has to be God living it in a man for him to say that. And that's striking. Because just after this message, is it just after this one? Just before this one, he preached, there is a man here that can turn on the light. And everybody goes off about you making Brother Branham God and all these other things. They won't be still and let the Lord talk to them. The third pull has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, cause it can't be. See, it cannot be. And that's inexistent. I'm warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened. So be identified. So it could identify its presence among you. It's identified its presence among you. See? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. Look how close that is, it's going to be. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. See? Now, I must continue in evangelism. Just as I was commissioned. First, I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word. Therefore, you've had the word. When he said a while ago about you've seen it, it's went around the world. You've had the word. And you know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And friends of mine, keep still. Just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, did that happen before he died? It certainly did. We're not waiting for him to come back to do it. So many people in the message got pulled off on that. Now, you might see some little odd things happen for me. Nothing sinful. I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because where I've reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching the spot and waiting for the time to use it, to use this thing that cannot be impersonated. But it's going to be used. And everyone knows that, for as certain as the first was identified, so was the second man identified. And if you'll think real closely, you who are spiritual, and the Bible said, here is to him that has wisdom, the third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. See, so the third pull is here. He talked about him watching it vindicate itself and things like that. It's so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, say nothing of it. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself. Remember what he said? When you accept this message, watch it vindicate itself in you. Watch it vindicate itself. See, but I've tried to explain to others and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this. This will be a thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See, I must lay quiet for just a little while. Now remember, and who is listening to this tape? You might see such a change in my ministry right away. Dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. Can't go any further. It has to be what's coming. We have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. There is coming a time upon in this nation. Now listen to this. Me and Katrina was just talking about some stuff she had saw there on the internet in the news about this teacher. And if you're not, it's not just teachers, it's everywhere trying to force upon you the what they think and what they believe. And it's becoming more and more powerful. But this is what Brother Branham said this nation's got to work for. Watch what he said. There's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise the power that the beast had before it, which was pagan Rome. It's going to exercise that power. And I, like I said, I never would have believed that Roe versus Wade would get overturned in this day and time. Mm-hmm. But you look at it going, and I've seen articles about what they're talking about Christian nationalism and these things, and they're worried about it because they're worried about a version of Christianity and the government coming back together. They think that's what's getting ready to happen. Maybe so. I don't know. Whatever, it's against the bride, whatever happens. The nation is going to exercise, this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before it, which was pagan Rome when it became papal Rome. That's what it's going to exercise, that papal Rome, pagan power. See, that this nation will do that. All right, so going down in that same message. Well, it's practically that way now. Talking about them not allowing you to minister. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now, on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of it that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. They won't be able to let it go on. It's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then, see, and it'll be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride in the church. This message that takes place after he takes the book, after redemption's over, after it's done, this is what's going to happen, he's talking about. So it's what the third pull is, he says. People think they're going to take the third pull and go do great wonders and all these other things. And if that's what the Lord wants to do, that's fine. But that, Brother Bram said, all these wonders could be impersonated. But they could not live the word, he said. Live it. Let God live it in them. Now that's what, you know, we're going into this next. Now we're going into the future home now. So we wanted to background that so we could get into the first part of this. Now that's what we was talking the other day. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, see. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the word is clear? Understand it. Watch it vindicate itself. That's how you know. You watch it vindicate itself. Watch it bring itself to pass in your life. Well, you say, I see this do it and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire word. To be the bride, you have to be part of him. See this thing that can't be impersonated. He is the word. See, and that's a part of him. And what a part of him is it? the word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride. And when does he call his bride? After it's done, he comes to get her. That's when he calls her. That message is when he comes to get her. The word that's promised for this day, when he calls his bride, be a part of that. You get it? Don't lose that now. Notice. And he makes it a fit place to live through eternity. So when you're born again, he's talking about the earth there, but he's comparing the earth being made to be a fit place to live at the new heaven and the new earth. And he's also paralleling it in the spiritual with you and each one of each one of God's children when they're born again. Now remember, there is 7 feast days: the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sheaf Waving. All there is 7 great feast days. That was only a type of the 7 church ages. All them feast days was a type of the church ages, a type of time. And you remember how many Sabbaths there were between one and the other. See, 7 Sabbaths between Pentecost and the trumpets, which was 7 church ages. And there was 7 feast days that represent the 7 church ages. Keep your numbers running. The feast days represent the church ages. The church ages that are done. No keeping of days. No numbers. Brother Bram said it's not even a day. He said he called it the 8th day and he turned around and said, and it's not even a day, he said, because we don't keep days. There's no longer days no more, he said. It's just eternity. Say, well, now, Brother Branham, you've done run out. You've got your 7. All right. Let's take the last feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. We now notice here in the 36th verse, 7 days shall you offer offerings made of fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, there'll be a holy convocation. There is another holy convocation time coming after the 7th day, after the 7 feast days. Holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and it is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. Now we got an 8th day. Now there is only 7 days. But here we speak of the 8th day, holy convocation. Notice, do no work in it. The 8th day, what? Back to the 1st day. Why? It speaks of eternity. As she rolls around without a stopping place, do you see it? Now, could you imagine Brother Branham having these questions and not understanding? Yes, he has run out of days. He's run out of types. And then the Lord's showing him this scripture. And when the Lord shows him that scripture, it breaks open into something else. Could you imagine that? That's what we benefited from. Why, it speaks of eternity as she rolls around without a stopping place. Amen. Do you see it? Notice, it was also upon the 8th day, last day, feast day of the tabernacle. Notice, after that, after the last feast day, after the last church age, after the last complete 7 days upon the earth, after the millennium, he's talking about the earth now, new heavens and new earth, after the millennium, that this holy convocation comes. Remember, this is Feast of Tabernacles, Tabernacles gathering places. Amen. Where in the millennium, the Bible said they shall build houses. The Feast of Tabernacles is where? In the millennium. So he's trying to make you see that the millennium is not the new heavens and the new earth, not the holy convocation, he says. Where in the millennium, the Bible said they shall build houses, they shall inhabit. And in the new earth, he has already went and prepared the place. It's built. we have nothing to do with the building of it. We have nothing to do with the building of it. Now you think about what he's talking about spiritually. Because he's going to hit hard about new creation soon. We have nothing to do with the building of it. It's not the church ages anymore. That's ended. Mm-hmm. We have nothing to do with the building of it anymore. It's all him now. He's driving, completely driving with all the word in his bride. He's called and she's come. And that's, he's got her. It's built. We have nothing to do with the building of it. Amen. Eternal. Oh, I just love the word. My, a holy convocation, the eighth day, which is only 7 days. And then on the eighth day, which comes back to the first day again, comes back to the first day, the eighth day, is a holy convocation. Notice, 7 days only has to do with the old creation. The 7 days only has to do with that. All together, that's all it's about. Those 7 days, those feast times, the times when you were sealed in to the day of your redemption. This is the day of your redemption. Notice, 7 days only has to do with the old creation. World time, 7 days, that's the millennium, the rest day. And as God labored 6 days, rested the seventh, the church labors 6 days, rest the seventh. But you're still in a time element. That's still in a time element. Ain't speaking of the eternal. It's not speaking of the eternal. And now we're talking about a message that cannot be impersonated. Cannot be. But you see, there's no such a thing as 8 days. You go back to the first day again. See, the first day. The Sabbath speaks of the old law. The rest day speaks of an old law that was to pass away. The church ages pass away. Now, how can the prophet, now you think about the position he's in. The prophet comes up, he's that seventh angel messenger, and he's bringing that message, and he's bringing it right straight back to Paul, and he's bringing back the correct water baptism. He's bringing back all these things that was left off. And then God goes and takes the book, and he says, all those days are done now. Something else is happening. Now, how in the world could that message come forth? It's going to sink everybody that's not got a hold of the ship. The Sabbath speaks of the old law, which was to pass away. The keeping of a Sabbath, which passed away. These seven church ages, they've passed away. Oh, I have said, change to another. It didn't pass away. It just changed from the old law of keeping a certain day of the week. See, it wasn't any certain day anymore. Isaiah, the 19th chapter said, I believe 28:19 said, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Hold fast to that that's right, what's good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. And here is the rest. Here's the rest. That's the rest right there. When he speaks to the people. You enter into life. Not keeping a day or a shadow. See, and now he's talked about these things being precept upon precept. And now he pulls a thing that Paul said here. He said, you enter into life, not keeping a day or a shadow. Now he's going to go back and get Paul, and he's going to point that Paul is pointing this out even in the church ages that they're doing it. Paul said, over there in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, you keep days and shadows and things like that. I'm scared of your experience. See, we don't pass into certain days and orders. See, they were still trying to keep the Sabbath under the Jewish stuff. Trying to keep, wash the pots and pans, don't do this, circumcise, all these things. And he done talked to Peter pretty hard more than one time, if you want to read that in the Bible. about Peter didn't want to sit down beside a certain ones because they didn't wash their hands or wash the plates or something. It was a Jewish thing that he didn't want to sit down beside of them. And Paul called him out on it right there in the middle of everybody. And he said, didn't we agree that you would go to the Jews and I would go to the Gentiles? Or I think, remember, I have to go get the scripture for you. But anyway, didn't we agree we'd do these things? We're preaching this message, this same message. And now you're not preaching it to them. You're believing these things and you're acting these ways that aren't right. He's telling Peter that. Go read that in scripture. It's a very eye-opening thing. You know how hard that was on Paul to say that to Peter? You keep days and shadows and things like that. I'm scared of your experience, he said. See, we don't pass into certain days and orders. We pass into eternity. You've passed from death unto eternal life, not days and times. You passed into eternity. That's the holy convocation, rather. 7 days, watch, which pass away, or I have said, will change to another. 8 days deals with new creation. It deals with entirely new creation. Nothing to do with the old creation at all. It passes away. It changes into something different. 8 days deals with new creation, see, not old creation. 8 days is new creation. 8 days is when the redemption is done and he comes to get her. This is dealing with new creation. He comes to get the bride that he's wanted to come get all the time. And it's the day of redemption that we have waited for all this time. That's what it is. And that is what the new creation is. Deals with new creation, see, not old creation. 8 days is new creation. For it was on the 8th day that our Lord raised from the dead. There's your other convocation, the holiness, not considering the Sabbath, not considering that at all. Or the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of this, the Feast of Pentecost, not considering any of that. Jesus raised from the dead for our justification on the 8th day. And remember what the message on justification become just a year or so later when he preached Invisible Union. He raised from the dead for our justification on the 8th day. After the 7 Sabbaths. See, this is when he raised. After all them Sabbaths were done. So what is he talking about? After the 7, he's pointing this out. That's when he raised from the dead. You think about our day that we're living in. He's pointing out that Jesus raised from the dead the 8th day. Yes. And where are we at? Yes. The 8th day. And what are we? The feminine of God. The feminine of Christ. We're Christ female. And after the 7 Sabbaths, or 7 days, the 7 church ages, Jesus raised from the dead. So when did Jesus raise from the dead after the 7 church ages? Somebody tell me that. How does that work? We just talked about it, didn't we? Jesus raised from the dead. 8th day, which is a holy convocation, see, which is the first day. See, you've done has passed through time and dropped into eternity again. Not keeping of days, a keeping of Sabbaths and new moons and things like that. Not only have you dropped into eternity, but it's new creation. Don't forget that. Keeping of Sabbaths and new moons and things like that, but hath passed, changed your form. We've changed our form. Remember what he said, the earth done. The millennium, it burnt out everything that was death in it. And then the bride comes to live in it. The earth hasn't received the new baptism. It's new birth. It's the new heavens and the new earth. That hadn't come yet. But the bride's living in her in the millennium. Just like he said that you're born again, that you didn't change your form. He said it was the same old stature. Remember we read that quote in the last service? It's the same old stature, but it's the new being. It's a new creation there. But hath passed, changed your form, not annihilated glory, but passed from death unto life eternal. Passing from life into passing unto life eternal. And what did he say that was? It's the thing that we have nothing to do with. He does it. Oh, what the Bible does teach us. See, passed from one into another. Now, when Brother Branham is bringing this message, he does not know what he's going to preach over in the visible union, because he said the Lord showed it to him there just recently when he preached it. So he didn't know it. But you see how God is opening these things up, how the prophet is stepping, God's saying, do this, do this, do this. He don't know how it's going to go and how it's going to work out, but he's just doing what God says do. Oh, what the Bible does teach us, see? Passed from one to another. All right, passed. The old Sabbath is passed. Jesus raised on the eighth day. That was a solemn day, holy, and it wasn't a day. Here's where he said that. And it wasn't a day, because a day, a time, had done run out. So he raised in eternity. It passed into eternity. See, it swung right back to the first day again. See, I'm telling you what, this message is something. I can't get enough of it. It's so striking. You know, and I put something there on the forum this morning. I ran across this quote where Brother Ram said, I have tried. Where did he say? How did he say it? He said, I have tried for all these years to get you away from laying on of hands. And he goes on down and he says, but he said, I went ahead and done it because that's the way they wanted to believe it. He said, but I've been trying to get you to see that you don't need that. And not only was he trying to get them to see it, but it was happening in front of the people. They were sitting out there in the audience and he was calling it out. It was happening just like that. And he said, you're sitting. He said, I'm trying to get you to see that you're sitting in the presence of God. And what more do you need? So that's what he was trying to get them to see. These other things have passed off the scene. We're still running around with our bottle of oil to anoint somebody and pray over them. When Brother Branham said, you're standing in the presence of God. What more do you need? We're standing there. Eternal God in us. Anything that comes up, he has the answer for it. We don't have to take no thought. He has the answer for it. We don't have to produce anything. He has the answer for it. And as a bride, that's the way we'll act. That's the only bride he came to. The one that comes and follows him like that. Brother Ram said, like a wife follows the husband. It just makes me so happy. I know I'm blubbering and crying and stuff, all that stuff, but I tell you, don't let a day go by that you don't spend time with him. Satan will try his best to take every moment away he can. But don't miss a day. Go spend time with him. Even you young ones, Hope and Eston, y'all spend time with him. You know how to spend time with God? Go and talk to him. Sit down and talk to him. Just talk. And if you can't think of nothing to say, open up the Bible and read the Bible. And in a minute, you'll have a question. And so ask him a question. Talk to him. Expect him to answer you. All you grown up, all of us, I do that. I wouldn't be telling you that if I didn't do the same thing. I pick up the message and I have questions. things maybe I never questioned or saw a question there before. But then later I see something and I want to understand it and things. And not only that, what you have to share. You have what everybody in this world needs. Not everybody's going to want it. Not everybody's going to believe it. Very, 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 very few. But you have it. And don't ever shun an opportunity to speak to someone. If God opens the door, then talk. Brother Bram talked about witnessing to somebody. He said, if God opens the door, you witness to him. And then he said, you go as long as they pull. If they quit pulling, you stop. See? Because what's there? If they quit pulling, they turned away from it. Because the only thing going to pull God is God. And God come near them, and they were listening, and then they decided to take their way. Maybe it won't be that way one day, but we don't know. Everybody has a time. Moses tried to make it happen when he was 40, but it didn't happen until he was 80. He wasn't going to make nothing happen. We're not going to make it happen. But at the same time, when God gives us the message, that he put that in our hand to meet what comes at us every day. And we go to meet it. We're not afraid to meet the day. Everything that happens in the day, we're not afraid of it. Whether it's physical, whether it's the political, religious, whatever it is, we're not afraid to meet it. God's put the jawbone in our hand. He give us this message. And it has, Brother Branham said, it's the dissolver of all doubt. Any situation you're in you don't know, he's a dissolver of all doubt. So